Jeff Patterson from TSN in Vancouver. Jeffrey, how you doing?
Yeah, doing well. It's Friday.
Hey, nothing wrong with Fridays, my man. Your city has had a few weeks now to sit back and look at the moves the Canucks made. Are they worse off? Is this team on the downside? Like, what do you make of the Vancouver Canucks right now?
All of the above. Is there a box I can check for all of the above there? They haven't done a whole lot. And not that we expected them to do an awful lot July 1st in unrestricted free agency based on the amount of money they had. But, you know, they went to the draft, and there was all this talk. Jim Benning had talked about how much he coveted draft picks, and he had dealt away some draft picks. And for weeks leading into the draft, they talked about recouping draft picks and also, you know, putting to end another, the yearly goaltending issues. And they went to the draft with the three goaltenders and, you know, vowed that they were going to come back with two. And, you know, nothing happened on that first day of the draft. And then people awoke here on the West Coast to the news that Eddie Lack had been peddled to Carolina. And I don't think that was a huge surprise that Eddie Lack was ultimately the guy that was dealt. But, you know, for a third round and a seventh round draft pick, when Jim Benning had talked about getting a second rounder, that was one of his priorities going into the draft, was to get a second rounder in a deep draft. And so, you know, it didn't happen. I think people felt that that was sort of a two-prong failure on the part of the Canucks. A, they couldn't get a second rounder, and B, that, you know, they ultimately settled for what they could get from Carolina. So that kind of started the ball rolling, and then the Kevin Bieksa deal that was on the table with San Jose, and then it went sideways, and Kevin Bieksa wasn't traded in the draft. And, you know, so they came back from the draft with probably more questions. You know, fans had more questions, the media had more questions after the draft than going in, and there were a lot of questions going into the draft. And then July 1st rolls around, and they signed Matt Bartkowski out of Boston as a depth defenseman, and that was about, you know, the extent of their free agent shopping. So to get back to your original question, when you look at what's happened around them in the division, the Oilers, everybody thinks the Oilers are ready to finally start moving in the right direction, take some steps. Calgary Flames beat the Canucks and then went out and made the moves that they did. You know, Los Angeles Kings get Milan Lucic. San Jose made some moves. I think it's pretty impossible to sit here and say that the Canucks aren't worse off now than they were at the end of the season, when it was pretty clear they weren't good enough to do much in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, against arguably, you know, like most people looked and said the two worst teams in the postseason were playing one another in the first round. And, you know, Vancouver lost to that other team, the Calgary Flames. And, you know, the Sedins are getting older. Like, their window is closing rapidly, it would seem. And the Eddie Lack Markstrom decision to keep Markstrom over Eddie Lack, what do you make of that?
Well, goaltending first. I mean, Jim Benning has sold this one to the fan base as, you know, there just wasn't a market out there for Eddie Lack, that nobody saw Eddie Lack around the National Hockey League as a starting goaltender, even though he played 41 games each of the last 2 years, stepped in when Ryan Miller had the knee injury, and did a nice job there. In fact, posted some terrific numbers down the stretch, you know, but he had the opportunity in the playoffs, didn't make a whole lot of it, and ultimately was replaced by Ryan Miller in that elimination game. And so Jim Benning never seemed sold on Eddie Lack. Eddie Lack wasn't his guy. And, you know, he talked about trying to create a market for a goaltender, and that everybody around the league saw Eddie Lack as a backup. And he continues to use that sort of positioning when he talks about Eddie Lack, that, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes made this deal for Eddie Lack to be the backup to Cam Ward. And so, you know, Markstrom had a terrific run down in the American Hockey League, but, you know, so too did, you know, it's a long list, Danny Sabourin and Claude Brochus, and, you know, there's a bunch of names of guys that have played well at the AHL level, and it hasn't really translated to the NHL. And so, you know, now there's some heat on Markstrom when he gets his opportunity, and I don't think he's going to get to see a lot of games. Ryan Miller, if he's healthy, is going to want to be the clear-cut number one guy, and Ryan Miller's 35th birthday today, by the way, and that's some red flags right there for the Vancouver Canucks. But, you know, I think Markstrom's sort of penciled in for 25 to 30 if Miller's healthy, and we'll see what he can do with it. You know, as for the Twins, people have been suggesting for a while now that they're in decline. I mean, they were unbelievable. They were the least of the Canucks' problems. The biggest problem for the Canucks is they haven't ever backfilled around those guys. There isn't that next wave of top-line players coming. It's not the Sedins' fault that they still have to carry the load for this hockey club. But both Daniel and Henrik had terrific seasons, and I would think, just knowing the kind of guys that they are and the players they are and the way that they, you know, work out and train in the summer, that they'll come back and they'll have decent seasons again. I think my concern is, you know, can Radim Vrbata come anywhere close to 31 goals? I would say no. I can't imagine that he's going to outproduce what he did last year. You know, it's some of the guys around the Twins. Alex Burrows, I think, is in decline. There's not much doubt about that. And then you get to the Chris Higgins of the world. And the Canucks talk about wanting to start this youth movement, but they really didn't do much up front to clear the decks to create space on the roster for younger players. They've got Jake Virtanen. They want to give him an opportunity. You know, Sven Berchi, they made the deal with Calgary to bring him in. But I think there's all kinds of question marks about Sven Berchi still. If he can play in the NHL, can he be a top six guy? So, I don't see how in the world, if the Vancouver Canucks couldn't stack up against Calgary with home ice advantage in that opening round, how they think that they're going to be better when I think the Dallas Stars are a better team. I think the Colorado Avalanche, you know, will start moving back in the right direction. The LA Kings missed the playoffs. LA Kings are going to bounce back. They're not going to waste the prime years of Drew Doughty and Jonathan Quick and other guys. They made the Lucic deal. So, you know, you always look and you say, well, if some of those teams are going to make the playoffs, who's falling out? I think the Canucks, even though they had 101 points last year, Canucks right now look like a team that certainly would be poised to fall below the playoff bar.
Well, I would be very surprised, actually, if they don't. They're going to need a bounce-back season from a lot of players who are old in the Sedins and Miller, right? Like, Ryan Miller's got to play better, or they got to hope Markstrom's better. What about their back end? The Kevin Bieksa move, I actually don't mind, because I think Kevin Bieksa is a guy who is maybe on the wrong side of his career.
Yeah, and there aren't a lot of people here that were upset that... I mean, Kevin was a popular guy, a pillar in the community, you know, one of the faces of the franchise, great with the media, all that kind of stuff. But none of that matters when the puck drops out on the ice, you know, at 34, or it's soon to be 34, his play was in decline. He lost a step. He doesn't bring a whole lot of offense. You know, has some edge to his game, but not nearly as much as he once did when he was trying to prove himself in the National Hockey League. So, yeah, I think people there are all right with the Canucks moving out a veteran guy on the back end. My problem is their defense was totally exposed by the Flames' forecheck, the Flames' speed, and the transition game. Well, Edler, Tanev, Ham Hughes, Yannick Weber, Lucas Pisa, I mean, five of the six guys that were part of the problem in the playoffs, they're still here. And so, yeah, they've got young guys and Frank Corrado and Adam Klindening and Burkowski that they signed that they, you know, they brought, but they're all depth guys that aren't guaranteed a spot in the lineup on any given night. You're coming back with the same defense that wasn't good enough against the Calgary Flames. I mean, if they somehow found themselves in a battle in a playoff series against one of the really good teams, a true elite team in the NHL, I kind of shudder to think how this team would match up. Edler and Tanev, they're a decent pairing. I have no issues with those two. But beyond that, you know, I think Dan Hamhuis, he was banged up an awful lot last year, now into his mid-30s. You know, again, losing a step. He's never been a terribly physical guy. Yannick Weber is a little bit undersized. He's got a good shot, but... you know, and Spezza was the whipping boy here in Vancouver. I mean, they made the deal, obviously, the Kessler deal, and Spezza was a part of that. And now, I mean, the Canucks committed $10 million to this guy over 3 years. He's making $3.6 million in a new contract. And that, you know, that might be Jim Benning's downfall. I mean, I don't think he's going to lose his job anytime soon, but to give Lucas Spezza an extension when he was an RFA, $3.6 million they're paying this guy. And he had a tough first go in Vancouver. So, you know, he's got to find a way to get a whole lot better. But, you know, two other teams have given up on him, a first-rounder, Philly, Anaheim, now onto his third team at the age of 25. You know, I think there was a reason that Anaheim was quite happy to package him as part of that Kessler deal.
Jeff Patterson from TSN in Vancouver joins us. Quickly to the BC Lions, Travis Lule is an interesting storyline that everybody is watching closely. And sadly, it kind of seems like people are waiting for that injury to occur, which is disappointing.
Yeah, and there was a moment last week, the win over Saskatchewan, he fumbled the ball late in the game and, you know, he was down on the turf and he extended that throwing arm. And I think an entire province sort of collectively held its breath because it was... revisiting the play in which he got hurt in Ottawa the year before. He was terrific when he held onto the football last week, 404 yards of passing and three touchdowns, didn't turn the ball over. But, you know, they made some magic happen, pulled a rabbit out of the hat, down 11 with 2 minutes to go. You know, yeah, it's the CFL and no lead is safe. I get that, but you're not going to come back from 10 or 11 down with 2 minutes to go very often. So for 58 minutes, they weren't very good, and I think some people here kind of lost sight of the fact that, oh, hey, a win's a win, that's great, but for 58 minutes, not very good. And the week before in Ottawa, Travis Lule looked a little rusty. The team itself didn't really show up in the second half. So it was a good win. You know, you can't take the win away from them. They think they got some momentum. I guess we'll find out here in a couple of hours. They get the rematch with the Riders. They have a chance to put Saskatchewan in a big old hole now at 0-4 if they can get a win tonight. But with a new head coach here in Jeff Tedford, still a lot of questions. Players are giving him favorable reviews after camp and two games of the regular season. But I think that... That your assessment is a fair one, that Travis looked good last week, but it's a long season. This guy's banged up. That shoulder is sort of held together with chewing gum and some duct tape and stuff now, and we'll see if he can make a go of it for the long haul.
What do you think of the Oilers' offseason thus far? How much of an improved team do you think they'll be next season?
Yeah, hard to put a point total on it. I like a lot of the moves. I mean, I guess we'll see. It's one thing to be the backup, see what Cam Talbot can do as the legitimate starter. But I think I'm like most people in hockey, that from what we've seen of Cam Talbot, certainly has earned the shot to be the guy. I like the Griffin Reinhart trade. I think bringing him home, if he's going to have some success, it's a place in which he's comfortable and has played before. And like everybody in hockey, I'm fascinated to see what Connor McDavid can do. But as a marked man, it's going to be a huge jump for him. It's time. You guys know that. It's not telling you anything you don't know. It's time to get this thing moving in the right direction. I do think they're better. I think you're going to see some traction, but I don't know that I see the Oilers being a playoff team. I think that there's probably a jumping off point this year before they can finally make that final burst to be part of the top eight. So I would see them moving up and passing a handful of teams. You know, we've done poll questions out here about who's better right now, the Oilers or the Canucks. And in fact, lots of the Canuck fans were voting for the Oilers, think that maybe they have reeled in the Vancouver Canucks. We'll see. I still think the Oilers probably a year away. But again, I like the way Peter Chiarelli's come in. He's put his stamp on that hockey team. He's been pretty decisive, and the parts are there now to finally get this thing moving back in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't see Edmonton as a playoff team. The one advantage they have right now, I think Anaheim is a lock to be a playoff team in the Pacific. I think the LA Kings are actually a lock, even though I know they missed the playoffs last year, but they were a terrible shootout team, and I don't see that happening again because there are going to be fewer shootouts. But after that, Vancouver's one other team. I only see three from the Pacific. San Jose's question mark. Vancouver's a question mark. Calgary, they improved their defense. There's no arguing that, but they won with kind of smoke and mirrors if you look at the deep into their possession numbers. So yeah. They would have to improve in a lot of areas, I think. I would probably rank them ahead, though, of Vancouver at this point for sure. So Calgary, San Jose, and then Edmonton, you know what? They can improve by 25 points and still miss the playoffs, and that's what I think they'll do. But I think it's going to be a battle between Calgary, San Jose, and if Vancouver or Edmonton can surprise, maybe they're in that race for the final 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I see the Canucks as a team that can probably hang with the pack for a while till Christmas. There are a lot of people here that want to see them kind of in that boat and then fall off and start, really be a seller at the deadline and move some of the guys in expiring contracts and start this rebuild in earnest. But no, I think you handicap that race kind of the way I see it. I think the Flames probably will have learned from a few of their mistakes last year in the way that they played the game. Made a couple of moves in the offseason, and I like the look of that defense. So got a first-hand look at it in the playoffs, and I do think some of their young players will be another year better, a full year with Sam Bennett, Johnny Hockey, and Monahan. So I do. I think the Flames. I get that the numbers maybe didn't flatter them, but I think that they're going to be a fairly solid hockey team.
Should be an interesting season. We are, rookie camp. Who are the Canucks sending to that rookie camp? Are they going to have a good roster?
They're happy with their prospects, but I think a lot of their prospects are 2 and 3 years down the line. So, they'll have Vertanen will be there, Jared McCann, Cole Castles. They'll have a handful of guys. I mean, they've got some prospects up front. Their issue, Jason, is that, 45 years and counting with the franchise, they've never had that stud, legitimate number one defenseman, and they've got next to nothing in the system defensively. So that's an area for now and for years to come that they're going to have to find a way to address.
And we can speak from firsthand knowledge after watching in Edmonton. Now, when you have one like Pronger, it can make a big difference. And when you don't, whew, it can be a struggle.
No doubt.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Have a great weekend.
You bet.